Ah, this song speaks to me.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
Time for your chance to win $1,000. The code word this hour is wish. I wish.
Wish you were taller.
Wish I was taller.
Even
I
now,
wish I was
a
baller.
You made it 50 years, bro.
Like, what would you do if you were taller?
I'd be taller. I mean, there's nothing I can't do anything. I would like to be taller. I'd like to walk into a restaurant and be taller. I'd like to walk onto the basketball court and be taller. I'd like to have more hair on the top of my head. I'd like to have less boobs around my area.
Okay, now we're getting deep. Now we asked about height. You okay? We need to talk
and
about
I bought an 85-inch TV because my penis is small. What just happened?
That TV's big as hell, I'll tell you that
much. Yeah, yeah.
Were you making up for something?
Hell yeah.
Just said it.
Some people joke. I've never been in the shower with him.
Feel like talking to my therapist here.
It'll be okay.
I don't know why that all came out.
It'll be okay, man. Somebody'll like it.
My ass is too big.
What?
Nothing fits right.
That's your fault. You buy a new wardrobe. And, like, throughout your life, you start buying new wardrobes.
You get fatter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the best diet to go on. Buy bigger pants.
That's the one thing I can't do. That's when I know I got to tighten up.
That's the best diet.
I got to go and start grinding.
Man, I got to lose some weight. Then I go out, I buy bigger pants. I go, you know what? I think I'm all right.
Do people buy, they're in an X, and then they're in 4X, and they're surprised that they're bigger? the clothes aren't getting smaller in the world. Like, 4Xs aren't smaller in 2019.
I don't know.
Where did this gut come from?
I swear, I feel like I've lost weight if I buy bigger pants. Psychological game I play with myself.
Just stop eating.
Text the word wish. I wish. That's the code word this hour. Wish. Text it to 72881. 72881. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 6 o'clock. Who's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, Falero?
I honestly don't know.
All right. Let's find out if anyone's coming up at 6 o'clock.
I'm going to find out, but right now I don't know.
Okay.
Dan Day's producing.
It doesn't matter who's here. Dan Day will be here producing.
I know that part.
I appreciate you saying that you don't know, though.
I feel so bad saying it.
No. You were honest. It's better than lying. I feel like we've made progress.
Probably like Chris Whittingham or something.
No, Whittingham was here this afternoon.
Oh, maybe he's doing double duty.
It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. It's all brought to you by Anna Jar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Never mind. It's Greg Likens.
Greg Likens. We love Greg Likens.
My man.
He's going to have your next code word coming up at 6 o'clock. This hour's code word is wish. Text it to 72881.
Wish.
I wish.
Yeah, why are you saying it like that?
Because that's how Skilo says it in the song. I wish.
What do I wish? You say you wish you were tall. I don't know what I wish.
Yeah, I would love to dunk a basketball. That would be have you ever been able to dunk a basketball?
Yeah, back when these knees these knees were worth a damn, I could.
You could?
Yeah.
I think Falero told vertical. Us once that
could dunk. I was able to hang on to the rim, not dunk.
No.
I dunked a baby ball.
Stop.
No.
I did.
Stop.
And my knees went to crap.
Just stop.
I had like 13 knee surgeries.
You know what? I wish somebody gives me a degree, a college degree.
Well, that's not something you have to wish, though.
No, because I'm not going back.
Well, okay, but
I just want somebody to hand me a degree.
No, you could control that. I cannot be taller. That I cannot do it. It would literally have to be a genie granting me a wish. You could go back to school. Now, if you choose not to, that's on you, and that's fine. What would you wish for? I wish.
Something that you don't have, control of. Well, obviously more money and all that stuff,
but you do have control over that.
This is a tough one. Well, you don't really have control over, work harder.
I mean, you could get more money. I'm not saying that you could make $1 billion, but you could make more money. Anybody could make more money.
That's crazy. That's not an easy question. It seems like it should be. You want to say the normal stuff like world peace, you know, racial equality.
Personal stuff, though. Personal stuff. Like, Falero, what would you wish for? Obviously, to be smarter.
What? I can do that. Come on.
To be healthy.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm with Crowder. It's kind of hard because I'm trying to think of stuff, but I could do it. Like, I could do those things. Like, be a football coach. I could be a football coach if I really wanted to. It's my dream.
Something that you want to change that you don't have control of. Now, that's a hell of a question.
Oh, maybe for you, you wish you didn't have IBS?
I could change that, though.
Right.
Because it all goes off your diet.
Yeah, I mean, just have a healthier diet.
All those stomach problems come off of diets.
Maybe you don't want ass on your foot anymore?
But I could get it cut off.
Well, you see? Yeah,
strange thing without any context.
Well, some people just think I'm a freak. Sit around with asses on my feet.
Exactly.
I'm a feet guy.
So, Falero did something super weird today. We talked about it earlier in the show. We talked about it several times during the show. He went down to the Roach Coach, which is the food truck that shows up here at the radio station at a lot of office buildings. It's not the gourmet. Like, you know what the gourmet food truck is? Mischievous. Right. There's a lobster roll food truck. Those are moving restaurants.
Yes.
They're mobile restaurants. The real nice food trucks are mobile restaurants. They've got all the accoutrements of an actual restaurant.
They cook
built
their
into,
food in there. Fryers,
yes, built
grills.
Into a truck. They do everything. They keep them clean. And because it's a very competitive industry, so you have to produce really good food. The Roach Coach is the precursor to that. And it's essentially a mobile diner. But
not
like,
even there,
not even there.
Real cafeteria.
Yeah, not even that, though. Like, it's, I explained it earlier. It's a guy who converted a van into
a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, because
7-Eleven serves lunch foods.
But they're like, it's the foods are hot.
Like, the Roach Coach, you know,
like,
is...
Like, the food hot y'all get?
Yeah.
There's some sandwiches, usually.
Burgers, pizza.
You'll see the guy, you'll see the Roach Coach is loading up at Costco in the morning, Sam's Club or whatever. They go buy stuff in bulk. They'll buy 40 hot dog buns, 40 hot dogs, potato chips, you know, what are the real cheap ones? Kirkland
Wise.
I don't know, Wise, are they potato chips? Are those cheap?
You made fun of Kimberly for getting it for me for Wise. Your anniversary. Yeah.
Well,
Very cheap.
I didn't make fun of her getting you Wise potato chips. She sent you a basket for Valentine's Day. Was it Valentine's Day?
I think so, our anniversary, one of the two.
It was chocolates, but then it had bags of Wise potato chips. Like, I'd have made fun of it if it was Cheetos, which is a high-end chip. I just thought the whole basket idea was weird. Like, basket is fine, but, like, put some Godiva chocolates and stuff. So, like, I don't know.
But, Hawk, when's the last time you received a basket?
Just a basket
when's
in
the
general?
Last time you got a gift basket as a man?
No, no one gives me a gift basket.
No one gives men gift baskets.
Right, yeah.
It's for women for the
but
bath
she,
stuff.
But she tried to masculine it up by throwing in some Wise potato chips. But those baskets, you know, they always have grass at the bottom. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I didn't like it. I'm sorry, Chi-Chi.
Anyway, children at Easter.
So the Roach Coach, it pulls up to different offices. So it'll be here from what, 12 till 12:15?
About 12 to noon here.
12.
12 to noon p.m.
12 to noon p.m.
12
Crowder,
to noon p.m.
Crowder,
don't put it on me.
Crowder, what time does the Roach Coach stay here?
12 to noon p.m.
All right, so it's here 12 to noon p.m.
12 to noon p.m.
You got a hustle.
You do?
You got a hustle. So you go down to the Roach Coach. They've got some muffins, you know, the Otis Spunkmeyer muffins.
Honey buns.
Honey buns. They've got probably some bananas, some fruit. They've got some drinks. They do very little cooking in the Roach Coach because it's really meant for quantity over quality.
Yeah, it's an electricity van.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so it's not supposed to be food in there.
So Falero goes down to the Roach Coach. I'm not here at noon usually. He goes down to the Roach Coach and he'll get a muffin. Sometimes he'll get a sandwich, right? You have a turkey and cheese, but it's, you know, wrapped like you would get at an airport or whatever.
Like that one he gets from a Publix, yeah.
Correct. He gets pre-made sandwiches. And then resells them. Falero today bought fish from the Roach Coach. Fish. And then told us that the guy told him he caught it this morning.
It was mahi.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. The guy's got to get up. I'm sure just to set up the roach coach, he's got to get to Costco at probably 6 a.m.,
yeah.
got to stand in line, then he's got to put everything in the van the way that he wants it, all the drinks go here, blah, blah, blah. You think at some point he went out fishing, caught mahi.
And that's 2, 3, 4 miles out at the least.
Filleted it on his 90-foot fishing vessel.
90-foot Intrepid, yeah.
And then filleted it, battered it. Deep fried it because you bought fish and chips,
yes.
essentially.
Yes, delicious.
I would even be nervous about buying those wedge fries from the Roach
Why?
Coach, but you did. So
the potatoes.
But then he paid $3.50 for a pound of mahi.
Mahi. Five giant fingers.
It's impossible.
Mahi
so,
fingers.
And like somebody texted in, the Roach Coach goes to construction sites and yard crews. A lot of that, a lot of office buildings that don't offer vending machines that have hot foods and whatnot. And it's always crowded down here. And I'm sure it's very good. I'm just very leery of buying fish anywhere. Mm-hmm. I have to feel very comfortable about a restaurant if I'm going to order fish because there's a lot of bacteria if it's not cooked properly, if it's kept out too long or whatever. The Roach Coach is the last place that I would order fish from.
Meat.
And then Filero is, I posted video. It's like 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
I put it on Instagram, Radio Mark Hockman on Instagram. It's him sitting out in the bullpen here. He's got the styrofoam container. And I'm like, wow, you bought fish from the Roach Coach. Then later on in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock this afternoon, he was still eating it. So now the fish has been sitting at room temperature.
Well, don't forget what I did like at 1:30 after I ate the first batch.
Oh, yeah. Before the show starts, about 1:30, 1:45, Filero yells out, I got to go to the bathroom. Runs down the stairs. 40 seconds later, runs up the stairs. Huge grin on his face. I've never gone to the bathroom that quick.
Ran through him.
Wonder why.
Ran
you bought him. Fish out of a van.
And I'll do it again.
And then you ate good. It. You ate it in the dirtiest office in South Florida, by the way. We're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving.
It was yellow. It was old.
Really gross. You could see it.
Dry.
Is mahi yellow?
On my Instagram.
No, it's pretty white, beautiful.
On my Instagram, you'll see how off color it is. Anyway, Will Brinson's going to join us next. There's a lot going on here.
I actually got an answer to what I wish for.
What?
That I have no control of. I would want new organs.
Oh, right. You have a bad kidney?
I have one kidney, and I've been drinking and taking all them damn pain medications for years. I don't know what the condition
Actually,
of
though,
my
I
liver
can.
Or...
I think in China.
But I know if it fails on you, you can get on a list.
No, but I think you could just renew everything in China.
Just re-up the whole gut?
Yeah, on the black market.
I want a gut re-up. What's wrong with the black market?
Nothing.
No, don't back up now.
No, that's where you'd have to go, the black market. I'd go to the white market. Because you don't want the wrong organs.
Yeah, that's right. I need some strong organs. What if they put your little organs in me?
Right.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you go, hey, where's this kidney coming from? Oh, Irish Schwartz, you're going to love it. Nah, I'm going to wait.
Too much matzo through that old kidney. Huh?
I'm going to wait. There's matzo residue dust. Will Brinson is the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. There's several things I want to talk to him about. He wrote something on CBSSports.com yesterday. About, he did a very, very early mock draft.
Yeah.
And he's got the Dolphins picking number one, which means they're very bad. And he's got them selecting a quarterback, by the way.
Tua.
No. Not Tua. That's the interesting twist.
Oh.
I want to ask about Game of Thrones as well. There might be spoilers next because I give you the warning. Will Brinson, I don't think he was very happy with Game of Thrones. And I don't think he's very happy with people that say don't criticize Game of Thrones. And then we can ask him about Filero's fish purchase as well. Will Brinson, we enjoy talking to him from CBSSports.com. He's next.
Radio.com.
Oh, cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to?
All right, lots going on. But we're gonna go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, the senior NFL writer. at CBSSports.com. Will Brinson is there. He's a friend of ours.
Yes.
He's been on the show before once, got stung by a wasp.
He's a man.
During the interview, continued on with the interview like nothing had happened.
A man, baby.
Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Hello, Will.
What's up, guys? Just you know what? I'm grinding through something even more painful right now. I'm doing a fantasy football mock draft in May with Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, and an assorted cast of misfits.
All right, now let me ask you something, because that sounds unappealing, but I'm gonna tell you something that I think might even be more unappealing. And I was killing Falero, our producer. Oh, what's going on there? Is that Jamie Eisenberg in the background?
It sounds like it. Every time I go on the video, he knows it. He hears me talking and he starts yelling for Oreos because he knows that I'm absolutely like nothing. There's nothing I can do. I can't yell at him and be like, please be quiet.
Right.
Like,
so you just got to apply him. You got to apply him with Oreos. He knows the drill.
He's been sitting here absolutely quiet for the last 15 minutes. Hadn't said a word. As soon as I started talking to y'all, he's like, Daddy, Oreos!
That's awesome. What a great move on his part. Yeah, that's
meatloaf.
A great move. Mom, the meatloaf! Yeah, so, as unappealing as a mock draft in May with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg may sound, our producer Eric Falero today went downstairs. The Roach Coach was here, you know, with a couple of, requisite sandwiches, peanut butter jelly, whatever it is, and bought fish from the Roach Coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, would you ever do that? Would you ever buy fish out of a Roach Coach?
I don't know what a Roach Coach is. Is that like the actual name of a food
so
truck?
It's the lunch. It's the nameless, faceless lunch truck that's just silver.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
the generic one.
No, it's the van.
Yeah,
Of course not.
Right.
That's like buying one of those pimento cheese sandwiches at a gas station.
Right.
Yes.
Like, why don't you just inject yourself with Hep C? I mean,
Hep C, Lero.
Or shoot yourself full of, or like, go take a shot of tetanus.
Right.
You're going to bartender to make you a shot of tetanus.
They don't sell
it.
Hepatitis C just flat out, Falero. You have to buy it through the fish.
I'm going to ask him next time if he has it on the menu.
Just a terrible choice by him.
It tasted good.
Terrible. No. Well, all right. I mean,
it tasted good.
What kind of fish was it? Is it like, is he at least like, he's like, this is a locally caught tilapia?
He catches it by hand. It's mahi-mahi.
Yeah,
he catches mahi by hand, Will.
He told Falero that he caught it himself that morning, but it was breaded and fried. It was filleted. It was absurd. It was absurd. If that dude caught it this morning, he caught it at PetSmart. All right. Anyway, I just wanted to
locally sourced goldfish.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy thinking that was an awful idea.
He sold one today.
Maybe one this year.
Yes,
one
Lero.
This year. Maybe worse than the mock draft, you know, in May. But Will Brinson on CBSSports.com. So you come out with this early mock draft for next year, and you have the Dolphins selecting first, and you have them taking a quarterback, but not Tua Tagovailoa. Now, do you stand by this, or is this just an exercise?
I published it yesterday, so I'm going to stand by it.
I've said plenty of things on the air that I would never stand by. I'm just trying to fill time.
I was hesitating. I was wondering, did he get tartar sauce on it too?
He did.
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I acted like it was serious. He was really having something.
Well, because the thing is, like, how long do you think that tartar sauce has been in the Roach Coach? I might
be more worried about the tartar sauce than the actual, because at least if the fish is fried, you're just battling whatever other you might battle with, like a hot dog or a hamburger down there, right? I mean, like
that's an interesting call. That's a pretty good point by Will Brinson there. That the tartar sauce may be worse than the
might be the real danger zone there.
Why? Yeah.
Why? Because the sauce can go, like, if that sauce isn't stored at the right temperature, like, and again,
a lot of temperature gauges are in those damn vans.
I didn't even want to tell you the rest of the story, Will. I shared it with the audience, but Falero, about 45 minutes after me making fun of him for having eaten that out of the Roach Coach, he went downstairs, ran downstairs to the bathroom. I'm not even making this up. Came back up 40 seconds later and said, I just went to the bathroom more quickly than I've ever gone in my life.
It's like, no kidding. Like, yeah. That's how it works. Yeah.
Now, back to the tartar sauce of your mock draft.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I should point out that while the Dolphins would be the logical choice for the number one overall pick because they are projected for 5 wins for Vegas, this is not me saying, the Dolphins are going to stink. I'm going to give them the number one pick. I was told the order for this based on our sports line projections. So, I mean, they're like, hey, look, you got the Dolphins first overall. Part and parcel of doing a mock draft for 2020 at the beginning of the end of the 2019 draft is that it becomes increasingly difficult to, like, it's hard not to put a quarterback first overall in a class that's a very good group of quarterbacks. So, even though the Dolphins traded for Josh Rosen, and I think Josh Rosen will be really good, and I'm rooting for Josh Rosen to be really good, and I'm rooting for him to come out of this year with like a 6 or 7 or 8 win Dolphins team and people saying, hey, Josh Rosen's the future in South Beach. Like, I think that would be an awesome outcome for a young man who got dogged by the Cardinals, handled this with a lot of humility and class, has been nothing but a pro's pro since he got in the league, and certainly deserves, in my opinion, a little bit better. And so I hope it works out for him, and I hope that, I'm not mocking a quarterback from the Dolphins at the first overall pick, come actual 2020 draft. Having said all that, the Dolphins did use a mid second round pick. They didn't use a very expensive pick to acquire Josh Rosen. So I do not think they are beholden to him, and I don't think they're required to pass on a quarterback if they do indeed have a rough season and end up with the number one overall pick. And I would, I think all 3 guys, Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert, and Tua, I'm just going to say Tua just for the rest of eternity. I can't do it. I think all 3 guys have traits you like to see. I think Fromm sort of fell behind Tua a little bit because of the monster Heisman campaign from Tua last year, that obviously came up just short with Kyler Murray beating him down the stretch. Tua was the favorite. He was like -1100 near the end. I think that this coming season, you will see Tua picked apart a little bit more than usual because he is being projected as by a lot of people as the top overall pick. Vegas has him as a heavy favorite to be the top overall pick. And as such, I think you'll see a people start to sort of look for flaws from him. I think maybe he'll struggle a little bit with a loss of a lot of first-round picks, a lot of first-round quality players on that offense and on that defense. I don't think Alabama will be bad. I think it'll be Alabama and Clemson in the title game again. But I do think that Tua will get picked apart, and maybe being left-handed will even sort of factor into it. Like we haven't seen a whole lot of great left-handed quarterbacks in recent years. I mean, we had Vic and Steve Young, of course, and Mark Brunell were very good, but you just don't see a ton of lefties out there. And I just think a couple of factors like that, as well as Jake Fromm elevating his game as he sort of, gets a, after having had one full season of the pressure cooker or being that starting quarterback there, I think Fromm can end up being the number one overall quarterback. And unless Josh Rosen is just absolutely lights out and the Dolphins win, it would be hard for Miami to end up with the first overall pick and Josh Rosen to play so well that they pass on a quarterback there. You know what I'm saying? They could trade out, I guess. But, if he plays well enough, you think that they would win more games and wouldn't end up with that first overall pick. So in the scenario I'm being given, where they do have the first overall pick, in my mind, they wouldn't hesitate to move on and take another quarterback.
Oh, well, I'm 100% with you, where Rosen, if he plays lights out, 5,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, you got your guy for the future. But if he just plays decent, like you're saying, 5-6 wins, and they do draft a guy, what comes of Rosen? Is he a backup? Do they use him as a trade piece? What happens to Rosen if they do go out and get Fromm or Herbert or Tua number one?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, and it will certainly be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, I think it'd be tough to trade him. He's cheap and he's an asset, and it's good to have a backup like that. But who's going to give you? You already saw the depreciation, right? It's like a new car versus a used car. I mean, by the time the Cardinals traded him, he went from the 10th pick to the 63rd pick, yeah. Or 68th pick or whatever it was. And so now, are you gonna cough him up for a fourth rounder, or you just hold that cheap asset and sort of let him hang around? And I would assume that they would sit on his rights and hold on to him because that's what the Patriots would do, right? And so they're trying to copy the Patriots, presumably like everybody else. So my guess is that they would ride it out and have a cheap backup. I think it's fascinating, guys, the psychology behind this, because if the Dolphins draft Josh Rosen 10th overall, or I guess they, what did they take, Minka 11th overall or 12th overall?
Minka 11th,
right? Yeah, Minka's 11th, right. So like, let's say the Cardinals don't trade up and the Dolphins draft him 11th overall and they're still in the same position now with Josh Rosen. I mean, this is seen as a colossal failure if he doesn't work out as the quarterback. It's a blown pick. Another quarterback in a long line of guys who haven't worked out for the Dolphins. And instead, this is seen as a smart acquisition of an asset with upside. And nobody's going to freak out if Josh Rosen doesn't work out for the Dolphins. The psychology of 10th overall versus 63rd overall is just, it's so different. And that's why I like the method of getting Josh Rosen. There's no pressure for the Dolphins here. If he's not good, hey, they took a flyer, they're rebuilding, everyone can move on and they can try and find somebody else. And if he's good, it's gravy. Even if he's okay, you can add another quarterback and not have to worry about it because your regime is not tied a first round pick and that investment to this quarterback.
Will Brinson, he's the senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. Quickly, before we run out of time, what gets people more riled up on social media, the NFL and mock drafts in May or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, easily. although, I mean, somebody was yelling at me, like, how dare you project the Cowboys for less than 9 wins today? That's ridiculous. Like, okay, all right, man. Hey,
love the accent, though.
Just pulling up some column inches here. Just trying to take up some space. Game of Thrones, though. Will Brinson, I alerted people. There might be a spoiler here. Crowder watches the show. I don't. Falero watches the show.
I spoiled everything yesterday, Will. Don't
worry
about it.
You were not a fan of the final episode, nor the final season, if I recall, right?
No, I was not. I was not a fan of the final two seasons. I don't care if this sounds stupid. People on Twitter are getting on me about it. I invested a lot of my time and my energy and personal effort into watching this show. Following these characters. Not studying the episodes, but rewatching seasons. Reading about certain stuff to make sure that I was caught up on the genealogical path and all this stuff, so I wouldn't be confused when I put a lot of time into Game of Thrones since it aired in 2011. And the Bay brothers, as I like to call them, DeBoff and Weiss, or whatever their names are, the two guys who took over after George R.R. Martin's books ran out, the showrunners, they're writing this like it's a mid-90s action movie. And they're just tossing everything out. They get rid of they don't even care about the dragon situation. They don't care about the Night King situation. They don't care about plot and character arc and doing the right thing by your story. They're just blitzkrieging their way through this, trying to get to an endpoint so they can go work on their next Star Wars project. And it annoys me that they would do that in the final two seasons, because you just can't have six great seasons and then not live up to the expectation of season 7 and season 8. So I've been a little worked up about it over the past few weeks. And people on social media have not taken well to my comments.
Because yesterday we had George Sedano on ESPN Los Angeles, and he said, hey, if you're criticizing the show, that's on you. Just enjoy what they put in front of you and shut up. Manny Navarro, Athletic, and I argued with George because if I walk out of a movie and I don't like it, I'm going to tell you I don't like it. Doesn't mean I could have written anything better. I'm just telling you I didn't like
it. You're not a writer.
Manny Navarro from The Athletic, he was on with us yesterday. He hated it as well. So, yeah, and I give credence to guys like you that write for a living.
Well, I mean, like, I'm not writing some, gigantic, like action movie I think the bottom line is the whole show and everything got to be too unwieldy for the showrunners, and they didn't have any closure. Look, I mean, they got hosed because George R. R. Martin didn't finish the books. They thought he'd finished by now, and they would just follow the script and adapt it. And so they had no choice but to do what they do best, and that's blast their way out of it with big pictures and explosions and slow 45-minute walks of characters through rubble. I mean, I get it. Like, that was their only way out of it, and they did it. But it's disappointing to see that finish. And I like George. He's great. But I'm not buying this, sit back and take what they give you. That's not how – I mean, this is entertainment, but it's still art. Like, it's a television show. It's something that you know, they want analyzed. It's been analyzed over and over again. And so the idea that you wouldn't be critical or wouldn't give it praise or all of that is silly. Now, having said that, I think that you'll be able to watch this show at some point if you want, since you didn't watch it now, with the benefit of HBO Go or Netflix or wherever it lands. And I think there may be a different response to it than there will be in terms of people watching it live on a week-to-week basis, because there is more buildup. People are tweeting about it as it goes live. There's an instant reaction. I think for all of these things, and even for sports and the NFL, the draft, the football games, everything, we're always better if we can take like a 24-hour period, cool down, rethink everything, analyze it a little more deeply, go back through, watch stuff over a second time, but it doesn't work in 2019. You don't have the option of doing that. You show up on Tuesday with an opinion, and you might as well be like, just don't bother showing up if you're going to show up Tuesday with an opinion now.
Well, Will, let's rewrite it. The hell with Broken Brand. Who should be on the throne?
Well, I mean, like, I don't even mind if Brand is on it, but you can't come to me with this. He's like, he's got the best story. It's like, that little girl turned into a faceless ninja and stabbed the dead zombie mauler rolling through the countryside. What do you mean he has a better story? The only thing Brand's got going for him, and I think this is, like, he can go into an office meeting. Like, he shows up, they're like, hey, Your Grace, we got to go over the budget here. We got to worry about this. And he's like, oh, you know what? I've actually got to go check on this dragon. Warg! And he just warks. His eyes roll back, and he's like, all right, I'm out of here. I said, sorry, I got to go check on this dog down the stables. I don't know how he's doing. I'm fine with him as a leader in terms of knowing stuff, but when you see the way he acted in the battlefield, it's a joke. I would have put Sansa on the throne, and I think that they copped out a little bit by giving her the North. I love that her character arc ended with her, you know, gaining her own independence and going back to the North, and the North having its own independence. But that feels like a cop out to split everybody up, save everybody's life, keep all the Starks alive, and send them in different directions and make everybody happy. That to me is, if I wanted cotton candy, I'd go down to the fair and get it.
Yeah, he was running from life when he was warging. Every time we saw him, he had white eyes. I want a character that said something.
So it was
Will.
Like it was like the Mueller report. I didn't see it, but it was like maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Everybody see whatever they want to see at the end of this.
I was joking on our podcast where it's like, I mean, I wish I had Brand's powers. My wife would come up and she'd be like, so I noticed that you didn't mow the lawn. It's like, oh, hold on, I got to check on this work. And just peek out, just eyes go back in my head. I'm like, I'm out of there. It's like, there's somebody like, hey, can you come in for this conference call? Yeah, sure. Let me just take a peek at my calendar. Just work out. Work out whenever anybody needs you to do anything. And that's Brand's doing the rest of his life.
Brand's a deadbeat dad.
Excellent.
Brand is a deadbeat dad.
It's Will Smith's dad in Fresh Prince. I'll be back to see you, and we're going to hang out. And Will, your dad had to leave.
Yeah, Brand, you're my father. War.
Senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. Will Brinson, he suggests putting Jake Fromm on the throne when it's all said and done. So there you go. Read his work at CBSSports.com. Thank you, Will.
Yeah, guys, always fun. Talk to you soon.
That was enjoyable. We covered a lot of ground there, from fish sticks to Game of Thrones.
Will comes with opinions, though.
He really does, man. Yeah. He does. All right. We went very long with him. It was worth it, though. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Radio.com. 5 o'clock hour, Hogman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Biggie celebrating a birthday today. If he were alive.
God rest his soul.
Mr. T, 67 years old. We celebrated him during Cheers 2. Gautier, 39.
Who's that?
You'd know the song.
Yeah, Crowder, you love that song.
What song?
Gautier.
Jamal McGlure.
The big cat.
41 years old today. And Ricky Williams, 42. You didn't play Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA.
I didn't have it.
That song was released today in 1984. Still a banger.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Ricky. People still look at Ricky as like a unicorn, like this untouchable creature.
He's like an unknown. You know what you're going to get. You hear, you know, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, you, whatever. You kind of know what you're going to get. Ricky's an unknown.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought that lore might leave when he retires. It's still there. People still ask me about Ricky. Damn, 15 years ago.
Ricky Williams is one of the more divisive athletes of our time in South Florida because he left in such an awful fashion.
Yeah.
But then he returned and was a great dude and helped the team a lot. Hey, he was helping the team a lot when he left, but
No. When they totally legalize this weed, are people still going to look down on Ricky?
No, I don't think many people do. I think Dolphins fans.
Yeah, some people are still mad at him.
Yeah,
he left us hanging.
Well, he left at a terrible time to leave.
Yes. Oh no, I remember.
Yeah, I mean it was. I mean you don't do that to your teammates. But I think he's made amends, right? I mean.
I don't know with like the teammates. We don't have any problem with Rick. Rick
no,
came
no,
back,
I'm saying as a player though, he came back. He outperformed and like what more could you ask for?
I don't know because I've talked to a bunch of Dolphin fans about Ricky and like the Ring of Honor, where I believe 100% Ricky Williams should be in the Ring of Honor.
Ooh, that I don't think will ever happen.
Why not?
Because he left the team in the lurch.
Who's the best running back to ever put on a Dolphin helmet?
Daniel Thomas,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Y'all are butt wipes. You know what the answer is. You know what? You might argue Zonka. But I would argue if you give me Rick and Zonka at their prime, I'm picking Ricky Williams
Ricky
to
Williams
give the ball to.
Best running back in Dolphins history.
Longevity.
Better than Ronnie?
Longevity was actually, yeah.
Ronnie Brown was the best running back in Dolphins history?
No, Ricky.
No, he said Ronnie.
Yeah, I was better than Ronnie.
Oh, no, Ronnie had a hell of a year.
Are we talking about Dolphins running backs or Belviv DeVoe? Hey, where's my rim shot?
I don't have a rim shot,
Ricky's
but I do have this.
Didn't we say this on the air? Excuse me. Oh, I got a little phlegmy. I'm sorry.
Didn't we say this
cold.
On the air?
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
And then I did a Crowder. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Hey, now I see. Yeah.
You got to say something.
Sympathy for you, finally. All right. Write that down for tomorrow. We don't have time to go into the running back.
Best running back ever?
Yeah, and just write it down.
Barry Sanders.
And he's got rabies from the fish.
Boy, yeah, you going down
can you get
here.
Get rabies from fish?
I don't know. If you can, it's from the fish you ate.
You're going to get something. Bro, you're not coming to work tomorrow. Write it down for somebody else.
Bet.
Guarantee Biff's here tomorrow.